Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, happy Friday, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is October 18th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Tim. We would love to hear your comments and questions, because then that makes this your show. So now, let's welcome Dr. Tim in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you again for being here and supporting this endeavor with opening the switchboard and keeping an eye out for Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie in case they call in. And we're hopeful that they will be with us again today. It was delightful hearing from Michael yesterday and that very powerful testimonial about the energy he became aware of from the pain in his feet and the sensation of smelling the pipe tobacco that his grandmother used to smoke and the connection of how she had such tremendous issues of lack of support and how she went through losing her toes and her feet and her legs up to her knees in her life. And when you think about it, when you hear stories like that, when you've been introduced to the concept that we are energy systems, we are not physical bodies, we are not stuck and rigid, then it starts to make sense that there's a possibility to shift that energy when you learn some tools for moving energy and removing energy that doesn't belong and choosing to focus on and therefore create energy in your life that you would like to have there. It transforms your experience, my experience, our experience of life. And that's what we're here to help people do. This work is focused on the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness. And that's a technology for removing any energy that is unlike the energy of love, unlike the pure energy of creation, and it's any energy that does not belong within your mind-body energy system. And the tool for using that these days in its modern form is available in the Reality Management Worksheet. Some of us call it the Forgiveness Worksheet. And that tool is available for free off of Dr. Rice's website, www.whyagain.org. Click on the link at the top left side of most pages that says Start Here. It takes you to a page where you're free to download Chapter 24 of Michael's book, the latest version of the 7-step reality management worksheet process, which holds the key to this ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness, and 6 audio downloads that are living examples of real people calling in with real problems where Michael or Jeannie steps them through the worksheet process and they were able to drop, dismantle, or shift some of that negative energy in their life, in their mind, in their body. And with those tools in your hand and your willingness to practice, you have everything you need to become a master of the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness, the technology of removing what does not belong from your system. And I heard something from Guy Finley recently that I would like to share. Michael is frequently talking about knowing about this technology is interesting. It's fascinating. Being able to read the ancient Aramaic text, the Kaburis manuscript, which is written in the ancient Aramaic, that Michael had in his possession a 6th century copy of a 2nd century version of the New Testament. That's just fascinating. And you can see pictures of that on his website. And all of that together, all those high-resolution pictures and the ability to read ancient Aramaic and having understanding the idioms of the time, all of it is completely useless unless you pick up a pen, put it to the paper, and actually do the forgiveness process. Now, that's the way Michael talks about it, picking up the pen and putting it on the paper. I'm just talking about the ability to actually try this process, implement it in your life, and watch the results. Many people, as a matter of fact, I've had several this week who've come in and said, you know what, when I first started seeing you, it was making a lot of difference. Things were getting a lot better in my life. And I'm pretty much slipping right back into the same old stuff. And when we asked about, well, are you doing the breath work? Are you doing the mind shifters? Are you doing the taking time to do a worksheet when you're upset? The answers, of course, are no, no, and no. So knowing about it doesn't change your internal process. Knowing which energies belong and which don't won't remove those energies from your system. Actively applying the process will remove those energies. And that leads me to the quote from Guy Finley that I really like, which is, we all have wings that only open in midair. Everybody breathing? It reminds me of the old adage, the old little poem which read, come to the edge. No, no, it's too high. Come to the edge. No, no, we might fall. Come to the edge, she said. So they came, and she pushed them, and they flew. We just don't know what we're capable of until we do it, until we put ourselves out there, until we apply some of these tools, until we have the willingness to take the action to make our lives better. And that's what we're here to support people doing. These are very practical tools to that end. And with that, I'll take a breath and ask Michelle if there's anybody on the phone.
Well, yeah, there are several people listening on the phone. Nobody has the hand up yet, so if anyone would like to press one, we can get you first in queue to share today.
Did somebody put their hand up?
No, I was just going to reiterate about how powerful Michael's disclosure was yesterday. It is interesting to have, you know, the evidential mind needs evidence. And so paradoxically, what he shared to me was more evidence to help support me trusting and integrating the ideas about being an energy system and how that all works with how we are either adding something to integrate or disintegrate the energy with every choice in every moment. And the fact that he was able to, of course it's Michael, but most people look at the normal aches and pains of aging and there is no such thing. And so he was able to, move through that experience so powerfully and, what he experienced and was moving through letting go in terms of gaining more support for himself in this work was just fascinating.
So what did it stir up for you?
Oh, it explained a lot of what I've been going through the last couple weeks in terms of, when you do reach that higher level of vitality. When I do, when anyone does. I had I've been continuing the raw diet ever since leaving the intensive and then amped it up with some cleansing. And so after a 28-day cleanse, the last 2 weeks, I've noticed all those cravings being present and just not really sure what that is all about. Kind of like you were mentioning about your clients. They are feeling good and they're making progress, and then, boom, they feel like they're back to square one again, and it's, can be confusing. I think we talked about this a little bit last week when you were sharing the 5% of the thoughts that we're aware of, and then the other 95% that, truly run the show in terms of the behaviors, the self-sabotage. So Michael's sharing yesterday was just, another piece of that puzzle in terms of how we support ourselves and move through it. And on top of it, I was reminding myself to be gentle about those urges and cravings.
Well, good for you. And the idea is that another aspect of that process is that when my vitality is low, there's a higher wisdom within me that knows I don't have the energy to deal with a more intense toxin or traumatic energy. And so it keeps it hidden from my conscious awareness. Now, it's still in my energy system. It's still degrading my energy, and then if it's there long enough, it will actually degrade my physical energy system. But when I start doing more of what builds my vitality, whether it's good rest, good diet, good mental exercise, the worksheets to clean out the negative energy, setting effective limits in relationship, getting a little exercise, moving the body gently, strengthening it over time. All of these things can increase my vitality. And when my vitality goes up, my higher intelligence says, oh, good, Tim's vitality is now up to about a 6 or a 7, so he can handle a level 4 or level 5 traumatic memory or toxin. And all of a sudden, I feel like I got hit by a truck. Because now, letting loose into my energy system, the crystals are breaking up of these old traumatic energies and memories and negative conclusions about myself. And I'm all of a sudden aware of anger, fear, sadness, physical aches and pains that I wasn't the least bit aware of yesterday. And the simple reason is that because my higher awareness knows, good, as long as Tim is doing the things to raise his vitality and he's stepped into using some tools that can help him heal and integrate this energy and grow, let's let it happen. And the process that has to happen is those things I've stored in my system, I've denied and suppressed and have turned into crystals in my energy system, they need to be loosened. They need to become liquid and eventually vapor and move out of the system. And as we were talking about yesterday and the day before, my breath is the catalyst which will take that crystallized energy from the solid crystal form, move it into a liquid form, move it into a vapor, and move it out of my system. As I start to feel anger, fear, sadness, or physical pain, if I hold my breath, I lock that energy down in my system. If I keep my breath moving, if I keep it flowing, I add the energy, the catalyst of the breath, to the crystallized energy or the liquid energy that's detrimental to my system, that was never designed to be there, that was only supposed to be a warning sign that there's something wrong in my thought or my choice. And I add the breath, and I keep adding the breath, and that energy moves from that solid crystalline mass to a liquid, to a vapor, and right out of my system. And so we're holding the space that that's exactly what Michael Rice is doing right now with the discomfort in his foot and the energies that have been there. And we're holding the space for anybody on the call to do the same thing and to pick up the tools and apply them. And if there's something we can help you with in that regard, a specific question, or if you would like to give a testimonial or ask for clarification, we're here to support you in doing that. The number is 646-200-4169. And if you press 1, Michelle will recognize that you're raising your hand, and she'll open up the phone line.
We don't have a hand up yet, but I wanted to take what you were just speaking on a little further. I looked up, remember he was telling us the four areas that when you're symptomatic, you can tell the difference between it being a healing process versus a disease process. And, you know, have you been doing more of the right things? Were you hitting a new vitality before you became symptomatic? And then are you craving the drug you used to use when it started? On the elimination piece, just to further that conversation, it says, what is happening with your elimination process? In healing, there is an increase, moving a load out of system so it becomes more vital. It is decreased or restricted during illness. Eliminative organs are the skin, bowel, urinary tract, mucous membranes, and lungs, basically the breath. Mucus lubricates and traps toxicity. If it is not moved out, it will harden in the system. The average person is carrying 10 to 30 pounds of hardened mucus. When liquefied, it is equivalent to 100 pounds. I'm sharing that because I had never heard that before, read that before, and it is fascinating to me that's with those crystals and, like, in mucoid plaque in your intestine, that's probably pretty accurate. And the proteins with those negative thoughts and energies that get stuck in that mucus, you know, when they're eliminated, that's kind of what leads to that spiritual high. So I just wanted to share that because I just read that and was like, wow, it was right on time what you were speaking of.
Well, it's a good reminder. Thank you for reading that. That's something that comes up quite often in his lectures, and it is a process which leads not just to a spiritual high, but a physical and a mental and emotional high and energy level increase. Every time I dump some garbage, some baggage, some negative energy, it improves my functioning. It isn't fun getting to that point if I've spent 15 or 20 years holding on to a traumatic memory. But if you think back to the example we gave about the woman who was in our support group on Tuesday, she did a phenomenal job of dropping some traumatic energies that she's been carrying around since she was 3 years old. And it wasn't every time something frustrated her that energy got resonated. But frequently, if she felt helpless, if she felt that she was having a hard time staying loving in the face of somebody else's betrayal, or anger, it would resonate this energy that she locked away when she was 3 years old. And it resonated an energy that was so intense that when she was 3 years old, it felt as though if she let herself experience the energy, she would not survive. So it felt, to her, life-threatening. And so she would hold her breath every time, ever since she was 3 years old, and she's at least 50 now, and she would hold her breath every time a similar thought or a similar situation would happen. And she would experience the intensity, the discomfort, the confusion, the sense of hopelessness, and the threat, the feeling that her survival was being threatened. And it was her willingness to keep her breath going and work through the process of canceling goal after goal after goal on Tuesday night that allowed her to drop a lot of energy specific to those themes and life situations that she's carried ever since she was three. 47 years at least. So.
Very powerful.
We encourage people to keep the breath moving. We encourage people to understand that I am creating my experience in each moment by exercising my infinite capacity to choose the focus of my conscious awareness. Don David called in yesterday and was talking about his traumatic events, things that have stimulated past traumatic events, and his experience of being triggered into a multiple personality episode and a violent personality coming out. And these are energies that if you apply this model of observation, time and again people find here's a traumatic energy locked in the system from a young age. It was so intense it felt life-threatening. There was an intelligent, creative child who developed a defense mechanism, which was to create a whole new personality. And that personality could hold on to the energies that the other personality thought it couldn't handle. By canceling the goals, by keeping the breath moving, by integrating those energies into the whole, by learning to read the warning signals time after time after time, people who have been labeled as bipolar, multiple personality, schizophrenic, they find they are just human beings holding on to energies that don't belong in their system. They find there is far more similarity from person to person than there are differences, no matter how you define those differences. When you're seeing something clearly, the more clearly we see things, the more we know that the only real difference between me and any other person on the planet is the degree to which I understand that we are all the same. So I'll take a breath and see if that stirs up anything for anyone, including you, Michelle, and if anybody has their hand up, 646-200-4169 is the number.
Yep, we have three hands up. And so, ladies, if you could just wait a moment. Richard was first, and we will say hello to Richard. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I got your email the other day, and just waiting for the weekend to get back to talk to you about that. So thank you.
That's fine. Well, I'm calling in because what Dr. Kim was talking about initially this afternoon brought up for me what an issue for me this morning. I was waking up and breathing and heard my cat scratching on a piece of paper, and it's a cat I've been dealing with who's been outside of the box ever since I got them and trained them not to do that, which is not an easy task, and been through a number taking them to the vet to find out, treating for urinary infection, this and that, numerous times, and still the problem persists. And anyway, what it brought up for me was my anger and frustration, and you know, I could feel it. Feel my this energy coming up in me, and I literally, he wanted to go outside, so I basically put him outside, and basically in my thoughts was, you know. My thought was, you know, just go get yourself killed along the road. You know, that was how angry I was and frustrated with him. And so, obviously, you know, after cleaning up his mess, I sat down and did a worksheet because I realized that this energy is something I need to change. And I realized that he's not going to change as long as that energy is in my body as well. But anyway, you know, so I ended up doing a worksheet just to basically clear out that negative energy. So I just wanted to share that, you know, with you guys, that, you know, the idea that this anger and frustration, you know, came up in my body, and it actually brought up the memory of some stuff when I was a kid too. But anyway, just the idea of, you know, releasing that anger and frustration and letting it go and getting back to peace, and certainly the worksheet was a valuable tool. So I just wanted to share that with you, Dr. Kim, since you brought up the thing about anger and frustration today.
Well, I'm happy for you that the worksheet process was somewhat useful, and I would encourage you to do some more, because it seems from what I've heard of you over the time we knew each other at the intensives, and when I've heard you on the show, that anger and frustration are one of your 77 times 70 worksheet issues. And for those that are new to the show, that means the number 7 is the number of completion, and when you add a 0 to a number in the ancient Aramaic, it meant infinity. So the good news is, Richard, you're going to get to do an infinite number of worksheets around anger and frustration until it's complete. And, Richard, as long as you're on the phone, I thought I would let you know, the woman's name I was talking about earlier in the week is Sylvia Boorstein, Boorstein. She's the woman who's a Jewish Buddhist. Who learned to speak very gently to herself whenever she was angry or sad or scared or frustrated. And she would put her hand over her heart and she would say, "Sweetheart, you're upset. You're in pain. Take a few deep breaths. We'll take a look at what's going on, and then we'll decide what to do. But right now, sweetheart, you're in pain." And she's talking to herself with her hand over her heart. So thank you for the call, Richard. Feel free to keep
thank
us posted
you.
As you do more worksheets and release more garbage.
Thank you.
And restore Richard. Your true nature of love.
My thoughts on your pet is that as four-legged creatures, animals are very grounding. And so I think it's spot on to recognize that pet is maybe taking on some of your energy and then reflecting it behaviorally. So I think it's smart to use the pet in the way you can to help heal.
Thank you. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. Dr. Tim, are you ready for our next call?
Absolutely.
Hi, Julie. This is Michelle. I've got you live now.
Okay, Michelle. Hi, everybody. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Julie.
I was wondering if it's all right if I give you both some feedback.
Oh, I love it. Go on.
Okay, so I'm out here walking rather rapidly while I listen to the radio show, so I'm pretty sure my breath has calmed down. But anyway, what I'd like to say, Michelle, is one of the things that I've had to learn is that the diet here at Heartland is Michael always tells everybody when they leave or even when they're here is that this is something that you have to work yourself into, not something that you're going to be able to do right away. And he said that it can be very hard on the body to adjust to it very quickly. It took him, as well as it took me, almost 10 years to become a vegetarian. It took him that long, too. So you might want to just consider that, Michelle, that maybe there's a part of you, I think we talked about this in the past, about what a storm the gates. And that one thing that I have had to learn, too, is I'm right in the line with you, Michelle, is that the body is intelligent. I used to think, oh, I'm running the body. But, you know, the body has its intelligence. And when the body is saying, you know, I really want this, I really want that, you know, I want something else than what you're giving me, you might want to just listen and see, well, maybe I do need more carbs or maybe I need a little bit more balance here. And, you know, how does that look like my life to push my body in a direction that maybe it's really not ready to go? So, you know, that would be the feedback, and I have worked on that for so many years because I definitely had the addictions of liking sweets, and, you know, my body would fluctuate all the time. I probably had every calorie memorized and every diet book on my shelf, so, you know, I'm in line with that, and it's been a journey for me, but, you know, that's kind of what I've learned, that my body is intelligent, and if I listen, you know, maybe I can honor it in another way, and that's what I've been working towards.
No, thank you. I always appreciate when you provide your feedback, Julie. It's very intuitive.
All right. So, well, thank you, Michelle. And the other thing, Tim, is something that I just was wondering. I've been working with someone with what I call adaptive personalities, where they adapt another personality because the personality that they're in can't seem to manage the stress. So I was thinking that Michael had said that when we create multiple personalities, we create multiple personalities due to our stress, and that the personality that is right now handling things, they think is ineffective or it has too much information, so then they adapt another personality to handle the situation. So I was thinking that not so much, I'll call them personas, you know, another way to handle the stress. I was thinking that is a stress-related behavior. Are we on the same page on that, or do you have another thought about it?
No, I think that's absolutely accurate. Absolutely accurate. Slightly different wording, but the same process. When I'm feeling overwhelmed, and especially if I'm a young child, and there's a situation that I'm interpreting as abusive, whether the adults around me would label it abusive or not, if I interpret it as abusive and I don't have any other coping skills for having developed or matured into other coping skills, if I'm intelligent and creative, I can form, as you're calling it, a different adaptive person, personality, mindset, part of me. There's all these different ways to talk about it, but that helps me step aside and not have to experience that process so directly or intensely. It helps me manage that stress.
Yeah, here's what I've noticed too, and thanks for the feedback. I appreciate that. When someone has had a traumatic experience when they're young and they don't know where to put it, oftentimes they dissociate, they deny it, dissociate it, and then to cover that energy up, they oftentimes form another persona or another whatever you want to call it again. I'm real careful about that labeling thing, but another way to cope and adapt, and then that stays hidden, and then this new persona doesn't have to deal with what that pain is or that fear or the anxiety, whatever happened.
Yes, and one of the goals in that kind of work is to help the person integrate all the different parts, all the different personalities, all the different ways of knowing that are present in the person, because that is the best way to have a person be alive and aware and have their highest and best input for how to react in a situation. So often we'll have people who, every time they're in a situation with someone that reminds them of the man who abused them when they were younger, they will get either all shut down or angry or irritable, and they'll think it's them. And they won't make the connection to the person who reminds them of the person that abused them when they were younger. In the meantime, they will put themselves in one situation after another that opens them up for continued abuse and not be aware that that's what they're doing. So the goal is to integrate those different pieces of knowing, the different parts of self or the different selves, so that every part has access to what the other parts know and understand. And there's an integration process that leaves the person much more highly functional and much more adaptive.
Okay, so, I agree with you 100%. So let's say we have someone who has about maybe 8 different personalities. They are now aware of their personalities. Would they be using, I thought it would be effective to write them down so that they, again, are clear in their mind. Oh, yeah, no, when this happens, I do this. Oh, yeah, that person shows up and so on. And that would they then use, the worksheet process to, I need to integrate, how would they apply integration?
Well, by the time you're dealing with somebody who has felt that threatened by their life circumstances, either externally or internally, that they chose to create a different person or a different part, a different aspect of themselves or a different personality, they are feeling as though they do not have the resources to handle the situation. So the primary thing is to help them engage to get support, like working with someone like yourself or a support group or a professional that's well-versed in this kind of work, and then help them do all of the above, whichever of those techniques resonate well for them or the governing personality, or some works call it the manager personality. And some managing personalities will absolutely love the worksheet process. And others would rather do just goal canceling, verbal goal canceling. And others would absolutely just thrive on laying down and do breath work. So whichever managing personality resonates well with a tool, I would apply that tool in that situation. The goal being to demonstrate to myself that it is safe and healing for me to have the willingness to look at anything that's in my energy system. And often when there have been traumas intense enough that people will respond to the trauma by creating a different part or a different personality, it takes a tremendous amount of support and willingness to be able to turn and look at what's stored in that energy system. Hopefully the supporter is there to encourage the person to understand what Guy Finley says. There is no such thing as bad self-knowledge. There is not a bad fact you can learn about yourself. Everything you learn about yourself frees you to deal with it more directly and more effectively. And nothing that's ever happened to you has ever damaged, dented, rusted, chipped away, or in any way harmed your true nature as the essence of love.
That was really good feedback. Really good. Excellent. I have this other thought. As you were talking, I was thinking, since the other personalities or whatever happens is adaptive type behavior, then maybe possibly just looking at victimhood. How did I feel like a victim to this situation? And then I was under so much stress, I adapted this persona to cope with the victimhood thoughts I had. And so it seems to me that there's a possibility of addressing feeling like a victim to life and situations would be important.
Yes, I think it's extraordinarily important. And one of the things that I recommend on a regular basis is that people watch their regulatory speech or their everyday speech, whichever one you want to talk about, and they identify every instance of thought or speech that refers to the word victim. And they simply replace the word victim with the word experience. So, for instance, if I were to say, I was a victim of downsizing in 2008, or I was a victim of this horrible car accident that left, you know, my left leg paralyzed, cancel the thought. Just watch how different it feels to say, I experienced losing my job to downsizing in 2008, or I experienced a car accident that left some trauma in my leg. Just that is a fabulous beginning to help people realize that many people have been through the same experiences. 100 people could go through almost identical experience, and 4 or 5 of them look at it as their new life challenge, and 20 of them look at it as just a minor inconvenience, and 40 of them look at it as they were a victim and their life will never be the same. So one of the things I keep trying to bring home to people at all levels of this work is that what happens to me and around me in my life is nowhere near as important as how I choose to interpret and respond to those events. So helping people at all levels, especially those who have adopted rather what the culture would consider to be extreme coping mechanisms, helping them realize that what they're experiencing has been in large part due to their choice of reactions to events, and it doesn't make them bad or damaged or broken. Give them the option to choose a different way to respond and opens them to the possibility of applying some of these tools which we can offer or you can offer, Julie, or they might find on the website. And it just starts to open up all kinds of possibilities and flexibility. And that's my goal in working with people.
Great feedback. Wonderful. I like the idea of having an experience, too, that's much lighter than the load. Thank you very much for the feedback.
Well, you're very welcome. Anything else we can help you with?
No, that was terrific. I really liked hearing your thoughts, and, you know, it supports mine, and I know that there are some people listening, and I'm sure it will support them. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Your calls are always welcome. Your intuitive insights, as Michelle talked about, are a great blessing, and your questions are always on target. So thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Hi, Julie.
Bye-bye.
Do you have somebody else with their hand up, Michelle?
Yeah, I wanted to share there was a guest in the chat room, Aloha, who wanted to let you know what you were saying. They put, that's beautiful, Dr. Tim. I guess they really resonated with what you were just talking about, so I wanted to share that. And I also noticed that the next person in queue to with her hand up was 954, but then it looks like they changed their mind. So I just want to invite them back if they, oh, they heard me. So let's go with 954.
Thank you. Hi.
You're welcome, Sister Renee.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hello.
Hi. No, I thought I wouldn't have time to talk. That's why I hang out. But now that you mentioned I'm back, I'm here.
Okay, very good.
Yes, excellent radio show as usual. And I would like to share in reference to what Julie and we've talked about doing your job and starting a new lifestyle when you start using those tools. A couple of weeks ago, I had a beautiful experience of an opening of true forgiveness work that I've started with my daughter's family, my ex-husband. And still, you know, it has opened all the doors, and it's been wonderful. He has some condition, some mental condition, but it was through this work that he was able to realize that there was something that he has to heal in his life. So I would like to share that it's worth each breathing session, it's worth each worksheet, each moment that the hostility and fear is activated or triggered. Just, you know, take that deep breath and just calm down, relax your body, and it's so much worth it because, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, we never imagined that my ex-husband would have that light in his mind and start a healing process.
That's wonderful. And so I assume from what you're saying that it's still going on?
Yes, and of course, it's me too. I was able to tap into a lot of guilt and a lot of things when I left him, and then when I left my country. And I was able to write to him all of those things. And part one, I did it, and my daughter read it to him, and my daughter told me that he smiled and hugged her. So that was, and then the part two, I'm waiting for, you know, to know what's the response. But it was beautiful when my daughter told me, "Mommy, my dad heard your message. I read it to him, and he smiled, and he hugged me." It was beautiful. It was, for me, extraordinary. And, you know, my internal world got triggered. I continued breathing and breathing and observing my thoughts, my feelings. And, you know, after a while, I just felt the plenitude of the essence, with a grateful heart. I say, "Oh wow, I think I'm here in one country, miles away, but with this thing that just happened, I felt so close to him, so close to my daughter, so close to being a loving person, a human being."
Well, that'll do a lot of healing all by itself. The more I can make myself realize my true nature in every moment as that infinite energy of love and creation, the more my life changes for the better. So congratulations on that. Nice work.
Yes. Thank you. And like you said, Dr. Tim, and we all know that when we heal one layer, it's like you take a truck out of your shoulders. And I have this internal serenity and this joy. It's amazing. Yes.
Glad to hear it.
Yep.
Is there anything else we can help you with or questions we can answer for you?
I just would like some support in me dealing with my guilt that it's been big. That's it.
Well, you'll have our love and support, and I would suggest that you, the first thing that comes to mind is the worksheet process, but then a mind shifter comes to mind, that it's safe and healing for me and my relationships to release my guilt.
Okay. Awesome.
Because I have a hunch that the belief system in your family and your culture is pretty much the opposite of that, and that there are many cultures that feel that guilt is a really useful thing and it's a very useful tool, and without it our societies couldn't function, et cetera. So I would offer that you give yourself some time to work on the mind shifter, that it is safe and healing for me and my relationships to release my guilt, and just watch what happens with that.
Yeah, well, just listening to it, it's already moving in my stomach and everywhere. Sure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Keep the breath going in that stomach.
Yes. I sure will. Namaste.
Namaste.
Bye, Nene. Bye-bye, hugs.
So, Michelle, so, any other process going on the chat room or on the switchboard or any comments from you about our last two fabulous calls?
Well, I'll save those because we've got other people with their hand up. We've got a busy chat room, lots of people listening today in there. And our friend from Wilmington has been waiting patiently. So let's say hi to Susan. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. What
hi.
Did you call? What did you say? Our friend from where?
Wilmington.
Wilmington. Okay, I couldn't understand you. Well, Dr. Tim, hello. How are you?
I'm doing beautifully. And how are you?
I'm good. I have a question. And it's so funny. The question, waiting for the question is the same thing that the question's about, so it's good. You know, I grew up in... with alcoholism in my family. And I always would say, you know, a stressful job is perfect because under stress I do really well. And my life has reflected it, believe me. And now I really am choosing to have more relaxed, and I actually have a job where I work my own hours and I do my own thing, and I think I want it to be stress-free, and it was brought to my attention by a really good friend that given me feedback that I have a lot of pressure that I have created in my life, and just like waiting for this call, waiting to get to talk because I have a job where someone can walk in, and usually on Friday they walk in right at 1 o'clock, and today it's like 15 more minutes. So I'm seeing that even in this call, I'm creating that kind of stress and that kind of pressure. And it's pressure, you know, I could draw the umbrella in every area of my life. I'm seeing that pressure I created, like missing the plane and leaving too late for the movie and getting a phone call. I'll even create a phone ring so that I can take the phone call before work. And I'm looking at it, and I just thinking, this is my life. And I'm saying, okay, I love my worksheet process. You know I do. And I'm thinking, okay, what would a worksheet look like on myself, the situation, feeling pressured?
What comes to my mind is not a worksheet, but a mind shifter.
Great. That's wonderful. Let me grab a pen. I can find one. Yes, I got one. I'm ready.
It's safe and healing for me to relax, slow down, and experience life moment to moment. Are you breathing?
No. And I'll tell you what comes to mind, and I will breathe when I hang up, or at least when I get home.
Well, you better hang up fast because I don't want to have to call an ambulance.
You're funny. I'll breathe sporadically until I hang up, and then I'll breathe continuously. Thank you for that. That's a good catch. Okay. When tears came when you were saying that. It's safe and healing to relax, slow down, and experience life moment to moment. I have tears.
So breathe.
Quit
talking and just breathe and notice what else you might want to make notes of. Catch it right now while it's up. In this moment, slow down, relax, and enjoy the tears. Enjoy the energy. Enjoy the mind shifter thought. And catch it and make some notes. You don't have to say anything else for the rest of the call. You don't have to let us know that it's okay to move on. You don't have to fix it, wrap it up in a nice bundle. Just be in this moment. and give yourself
Thank
permission
you.
To feel it, to make notes about it, to just disconnect the phone if you feel that's comfortable for you, or having taken a breath or two and being in touch with what's really going on with you, feel free to say whatever you want to say.
It's a perfect mind shifter, and I've made some notes, and I will continue to do my work. Thank you so much. Perfect. The show is great today. I appreciate all of you.
Well, thank you for the call, and feel free to let us know how that works out for you. Because as you know, when you share, it heals, it helps integrate material for everybody listening. So thank you for your call. And feel free to keep us posted.
Will do. Thank you.
Absolutely, Susan. Using the radio show as a tool demonstrates a lot of love leadership.
Thanks, Michelle. I'm glad you're here. I love the show.
All right. So, Michelle, if you take a nice deep breath.
How did you know that?
Some people that you hang out with are more intuitive than others.
Oh, very good. We've got 3 minutes left. We've got one more person with their hand up. I'm not sure if we have enough time to do them justice.
Well, we may not do them justice, but let's at least say hello.
Okay. Hey, Sunny, we got a minute here to say hi.
Hi, I appreciate you taking the call, and I kind of wanted to comfort the gentleman over his cat matter. If he's still listening, I'm not necessarily triggered by it. I'm going to process this, but my cat has gone into labor on my bed. If that is any consolation to him with his what might be triggering him. And
regulatory speech, we know that you're triggered. We'd be happy to support you in breathing or doing a worksheet on it, whichever works.
Yes, thank you. And she's having a bit of an issue, and her first little baby is stillborn, and it's still just a magnificent experience. I attempted to do my little part, but just in the acceptance that it just, that little life was not meant to be. She's asking everyone just kind of pray for Kitty because this has been going on for a few days. I expected this first little one might have not made it. To confirm some of these other folks on the multiple personality thing, I have witnessed that myself where folks have adapt or chameleon themselves after another person that they admire perhaps as being stronger than themselves in the moment. And that just kind of seems to be the way of it with some people. They'll find someone that they admire for strength or what have you, and then they take on the voice inflection and personality traits many times. And
Thank you for that. Thank you for the feedback. We are down to 90 seconds. So
God bless
we have
you,
to wrap.
Thank you.
If you would like to call in on Monday and give more feedback or ask a question, that would be appreciated. In the meantime,
yes.
We're hoping that we hear from Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie and that they're able to join us more consistently next week. And we invite you to come back and bring a friend to visit the website and avail yourself of these tools at www.whyagain.org. Click on the link that says start here. You don't even need to give your email address to be put on a list, completely free. Print out the tools, apply the pen to the paper, and remember, every one of us have wings that only open in midair. So step out there, step into what you think is painful, breathe. Join us again on Monday and have the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.